JFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
Alan, you are sick.
The bush babies. What are you doing?
The Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing?
It's the BME Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
All right, I'm very nervous now. We have the great Simon Cowell on one of these lines. I could give him a prostate exam. I think he's so great. Two things from the BBC that I believe that I discovered before anybody else in America. Thanks to my friend Sarah and Gary,
right.
my old
yeah.
neighbors. First was Ricky Gervais. Office.
Yes.
And the other thing was, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when Sarah said to me there's a show, Pop Idol, Pop Star, mm-hmm. and then the show called The X Factor,
right.
with this guy, Simon Cowell, and when American Idol came on, I remember saying, oh, Sarah had sent me a tape of this guy, and thank God the act, it's the real guy.
Right.
He is exactly on British TV as he is on American TV.
Good.
And we just love him. We love him. We love him. We love him.
Everybody loves him.
Simon Cowell.
Hello.
Simon Cowell.
How are you?
We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, Simon. This is a delight. This is a treat.
Simon, like most people, we're huge fans. First, I have to ask you something. Do you think you can hear a hit record? I know it's a weird first question, but because of your background in music and because of your role in music, I'm wondering, like, at the end of American Idol, when they have those the last songs that they sing that they put out as the single, generally seems to be not the best, most commercial song. Do you, Simon Cowell, think that when you hear a song on the radio right away, you can tell if it's a hit?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the public know at the same time as me. I mean, you know, your listeners decide what they like and therefore what they buy. I mean, that's the position you've got to put yourself in. You've got to put yourself there as a member of the public.
That's why.
I chose one of the songs, which was the very first one we did for Kelly Clarkson, Moment Like This, because I had that song, you know, I commissioned it. I got a couple of my writers to write it. But that was the only time I ever got involved.
Because it seems to me from watching the show, I've been in music radio about 35 years, and doing talk now with my buddy Mike, who's here, and I'm going to try not to monopolize everything.
But, no, you're excited. You go ahead. You have fun. Hi, Simon.
It seems to me, Simon, that you've got what in the radio business we call the golden ear, that you seem to know, and I figured this out when I saw tapes before you were on in America of your shows in Britain. What an amazing touch it is that you have for finding what is commercially successful, what an amazing touch it is you have for speaking your mind and at the same time having a bit of decorum about you. I salute you. You're a jerk in a wonderful, lovable package.
I love that. I
just wanted to interject here. We interview a lot of people, not a tremendous amount of people. I've got a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. I have never in my entire career, and Don and I have been doing this together for over 20 years, I've never seen them more excited, and they actually have never done this to me about anybody, to say, oh, Dad, you're going to have Simon on the show. Please tell him that he's our favorite. So there, I've done that for him.
Hello to them. What are their names?
Catherine and Elizabeth.
Catherine and Elizabeth, I have to say, you have fantastically good taste.
Oh, God, that's
fantastic. And I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. Can I ask you a question about process as far as when you're actually doing the show? I would imagine that, and this is taking nothing away from Randy and Paula on the show as far as the, you know, their contributions, but I would imagine they can show up and, you know, go on set and be pretty well ready to go. But with you, you're the anchor. You've got to have the witty aside, especially if something's not going that well. As far as your process goes, do you hear things? Do you file away snappy things to say, insults? Do people send you insults? Do you wing it? What's the process? I mean, do you do a lot of prep before you're going to go on that show?
Well, interesting. It's a good question. You've actually got to do the opposite, funny enough, which is you've absolutely got to react to the moment because you genuinely don't know what's going to happen. And I think that when you make a reality show, and it's an awkward situation for me because you can end up producing yourself, which I think is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to treat it as if it is real, that there is certainly no preparation, and that we genuinely don't really know what's going to happen on any show, really. And that way, I think you get a more honest reaction to what's happening compared to other shows. There are other shows on TV at the moment where there's one person who's on it who also writes and directs and produces it, which is insane because
right.
that's not reality TV. You've got to be, you've got to make it real.
Simon,
that's why sometimes I will say, I genuinely don't know what to say to that.
You are such a great broadcaster, and I do love that on the moments when, like on the live results show, when they come to you and you just hold your hands up in the air and say, I saw what everybody else saw.
Mm-hmm.
What incredible balls and what panache you have. I mean, you're right. It's live. It's on the edge. You say what's on your mind.
You make a reference to the fact that you go back and you review, you know, it sounded better. I'm going to go listen to the tape. I mean, do you do that? Is that a process you go through with every show?
Yeah, sometimes I will, yeah. I'll watch the show back that night because, you know, when I'm actually in the live studio, it's loud.
Right.
And everything sounds fantastic. The audience is going nuts. And then you watch it back on a very small, you know, TV, you know, with a small speaker. And it does sound completely different. It sounds much worse on the TV than it does in there. So I like to hear what everyone else heard.
I don't want to rush because we do want to talk about America's Got Talent, and we appreciate your time. Just two more quick things about American Idol. A lot of times I notice you looking away from the stage, looking down. And that's why I asked you about, like, listening to a hit song. A lot of times, maybe I'm reading too much into it, I picture you, when I watch you on the show, Simon, actually taking yourself away from it, saying, how does this sound? Do you ever do that? Do you distance yourself when you're listening to these kids sing from...
Yeah, I try to. I mean, mostly, you know, when I'm editing shows or being on the shows, I try and do it as if I was a member of the public, because the best way, I think, of knowing if your shows are any good or if your songs are any good is that you base everything on your taste. Would I like it?
Right.
If you start guessing what other people are going to like, you will get it wrong because it's impossible to guess other people's taste. You have to base everything on your taste. So I try and do that where I can, yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask you was, how come we didn't get to see more of your mom? I think some cow actress stood up right when your mom was being introduced on TV, and we didn't get a chance to see your mom.
She got a bit overshadowed, I think, that night. She's shy, I think, my mom a bit. So she was, I think she was embarrassed.
As far as the process of this year's show, I you know, when you watch a show, and so many of us do, where there's a lot of emotion that goes into it, watching it, you put a lot of yourself into it. That's one of the things, I think, that makes the show a success. Obviously, with Melinda Doolittle, who I really thought arguably one of the best singers that you've ever had on American Idol.
Yeah.
And a lot of people frustrated and disappointed. And I think the show ended well. But when you have a particular person that you say, this person's got what it takes, you've had a lot of nice things to say about Melinda. Do you get frustrated as well? Because obviously you can't come out and completely diss the results because it is what the American people are voting on.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, you know, if you put the show in the audience's hands, which we decided to do,
right.
You can't sulk when it doesn't go your way, because that's just the way it is. I had a hunch on that semi-final, knowing that we have a very young audience, mm-hmm. and that they were much younger, Blake and Jordan, that they would probably make it through to the finals. But I just wanted Melinda to have as much respect for me that night as I could give her, just to say to the audience, she probably won't make it, but do remember that she is the best singer.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to do, really.
And you know what else you do is so great? Even with Haley, you know, just called her out for what it is. Hey, you've got two great legs, and you've got a really nice set of, you know, things on your chest. Good going.
Exactly. No, she was insulted, but I said to her afterwards, it was actually a compliment.
Sure.
Truth. No one is going to remember you for having a great voice, but you do have fantastic legs.
Simon, before we talk about your other shows about American Inventor and America's Got Talent, I did want to ask you, how are you perceived in Britain? I mentioned that I had watched tapes of you with some British friends before you came over here. I know people have grown to love you. What about in Britain? Because you are the same.
Is it as crazy over there?
Well, I mean, I'm well known. I think to answer your question, I like the shows I make to be popular. And I think more about the shows, interestingly, than I do about the way people feel about me. And I think that's probably the right way of approaching it.
Well, but Simon, you know deep in your heart of hearts that at least on American Idol, I can't speak for your other projects, but on American Idol, if there is no Simon Cowell, there is no American Idol. Really, dude.
Well, that's kind of you to say.
Well, it's simply the truth.
It would be a different show now, I agree with you. The very first year I went to America, I went on the message boards, you know, which they have on the site.
Yeah.
And I would advise anyone never to do that again.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
It's a little negative. But you kind of just got to go, look, some people will like you, some people will hate you. As long as you think, when you're watching the show back, that you called it right, I don't care. I genuinely don't care what people think about me, other than that what I'm saying is correct. And it's never going to make you the most popular person.
All right, Simon, let's thank you for indulging us about American Idol. Let's talk about your other shows, about America's Got Talent, and your one that's on Wednesday night at 9, 8 Central on ABC, American Inventor. What about these shows?
They both launched last week, and America's Got Talent, I think, is currently the number one show in the States at the moment. It's doing really well. This, actually, funny enough, is now our most popular format around the world. This show's now in 40 countries.
Wow.
Very, very popular show because it's a bit broader than Idol. There's no rules, no age limit. If you think your talent is worth $1 million, you can turn up for this show, and it is becoming more and more popular.
An American Inventor will give us an opportunity to see people that are trying to create things that will have an impact on people's lives, and you think that show is going to be a hit as well?
Yeah, I mean, it opened with very big numbers. It's the same principle,
right,
you know, as Idol or Talent, which is you're trying to give people a break. Unfortunately, most of the people who turn up are totally useless. but you got to show that process, haven't you?
Yes, you do. And Simon, I heard you say somewhere that you thought maybe 3 more years of American Idol. Okay, can you see yourself? You see the show still going at its current speed, or could you see yourself walking away in 3 years?
I have to walk away in 3 years because there's literally so many hours in the day, and you know we produce, you know, 12, 15 shows a year now, as well as my record label, and I'm on 2 shows in the UK. It's too much, and I think after 3 years, that would have been 9 or 10 seasons. You've got to call it a day, but I'll look back on it and go, it was just the best time of my life.
You are a smart man, Simon, and
we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
We really do.
Well, very nice guys. I really appreciate you taking the time as well.
Thank you for your time, Simon.
No, thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Likewise. Bye bye.
Who would have thought we would get along with Simon Cowell?
That was great.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody, because peas in a pod. You know, we like the fact that he calls him like he sees him.
Yeah,
you
he's
know?
A good guy.
And, you know, that's what I've heard about him. When you get him out of that arena, when he does something like this, he is an actually nice guy to talk to. Very nice guy.
His girlfriend is hot as balls,
mm-hmm.
too.
Not surprised. Mm-hmm. That's fun. I don't get pumped up for, you know, people we talk to very often like that. That was a lot of fun. And it was nice to say that to my daughters. I appreciate that.
So even off the American Idol, he still uses the fake accent.
Right. Ah, that was fun.
Yes, he does. Let's see. Oh, I know. Hold on a second.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to go commercial free.
Wow.
As we good. Just go right to Buzz
Whoa.
With the news.
Whoa.
Go
Whoa.
Boy.
Whoa. And Buzz, that is a tough act to follow.
It is.
I know your lead story tonight is the fact that Matt the Pollock is, in fact, a...
Blue Boy, Don. That's his new nickname, Blue Boy.
Could be tomorrow's
Matt
lead.
Matt Blue Boy is a pole smoker.
We still have some tests to run.
That is our lead story today. Well, I got you to spit out your water, didn't I?
That, no. It went up the nasal cavities.
Oh,
that was nasty.
Gay.
I've always been fond of that term.
You can't say that.
Pole smoker, what are you doing?
Hey, what are you doing? We'll hear the rest of the Gay Pride parade tapes tomorrow.
Good.
And tomorrow, another big booking on the show. Right before his final episode of The Price is Right, we'll have Bob Barker on.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice.
That's 2 in a row. That's
so
terrific.
I'll give all you guys a chance to climb inside his bunk tomorrow.
I certainly will. That is a man I truly admire.
Yeah.
And now, here's Buzz with news of the day.
Hi, Don and Mike. Here's how angry Sopranos fans were after last night's show.
Hey, Buzz, hold on. Time out.
Yes?
I don't know if... Gosh, I hope stations didn't go to break. I see every line ringing.
Really?
Wow. Hello. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, excellent interview. Excellent.
Oh, it's simply our loving fans calling in, Mike.
Rightly showering so. Us with the Quan. I appreciate that.
Rightly so.
You're right. We are great. So is he. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys are going to stand outside with a 10-foot metal rod in a lightning storm and make up for Johnny Norman's mistake, a week ago or two?
We don't have to do that. We tell people to do that.
Well,
we don't have to do that no matter what happens.
Well, why aren't you going to make it up to Johnny?
No. Do you know how we made it up to him? He got to keep his job last week.
There you go.
Besides, isn't this just where every call is supposed to be telling
you? You have some balls and get out there with a 10-metal.
Well, you know what? You're getting in the way of all the calls that are calling us to tell us what a great interview we did with Simon Cowell.
Well, that's why they put me up first, because,
Yeah, see, John Norman did that.
Oh, get out of here. Did he really? I know you did.
I know you didn't, Johnny.
These are on screen, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Beautiful, excellent interview. I love
Thank
it.
You. Yep. Thank you. That's the feedback we want. Yep. Thank you. Patronize us. Thank you.
That's what those calls are about.
Yes, and then make sure you hang up on them quickly.
And is it patronize if someone is sucking up to you?
Patronize if somebody's sucking up.
Patronize if you go to a business.
Patronize the Costco and you patronize somebody, right?
Is that the same? I think either one is acceptable according to the dictionary.
Just you might be right about
two
that.
Two acceptable different pronunciations.
Patronize and patronize.
Either one, whatever
don't
you like.
I've always heard, don't you patronize me.
And I've heard, I patronize the store.
Yeah, right. Thank you for your patronage.
Right.
I think it's more common to use patronize if you're talking down to somebody.
That's how it's settled
and
out.
And patronize if you're going to frequent their establishment.
Agreed. I'll research it, but I think we've nailed it now.
All right, hold on. Rob has got out either Mein Kampf or...
Well...
Oh, no, the dictionary.
Mein Kampf is all beat up.
When I see you with a dog-eared book like that...
This is mostly in English. This must be the dictionary. Patronize is the preferred pronunciation for both times, but it also accepts patronize.
Ah.
But patronize is preferred.
I normally don't like to get a plug in, Don, but I would be happy to say that if you patronize my joint and I meet you, I will patronize you. Thank you.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Fair enough. Well said.
I try to do that with everyone.
Does that mean that you will adopt an air of condescension towards your customers?
No.
No.
Yes, I will.
Now here with news about Matt's bleeding butt.
Uh-huh.
Blue boy's butt.
Full smoke.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and
Hi
Mike.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. Here's how angry Sopranos fans were after last night's ending that left a lot of people wondering if there was something wrong with their
show. I would have had no other show for the table.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Speed light.
Left a lot of people wondering if there was something.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
God damn it.
Oh, I went ahead and ordered something for the table.
Don't stop.
You got to make it like the show, Buzz.
Right.
Like the TV show.
Hold on to that
feeling. Now they're looking up and seeing Meadow. She's coming in the restaurant. Directed by Bush Baby.
That's just a screw with the station down in Miami.
Yeah, they like that. I hope they didn't play another sweeper there.
Yes, Buzz. Everyone's mad about that.
That's right. And people did wonder if there's something wrong with their televisions, as we talked before. But here's how angry Sopranos fans were.
You know, I don't know if we're going to get to it, but I'll say Rob had a
great I couldn't write it fast enough.
Directed by Peter North. There you go.
You started it for another week.
Thank you.
The string continues.
Oh, man. I understand that's Matt the intern's favorite artist.
That's right. Dip the onion rings in that.
Oh, God.
Many viewers were so angry they collectively shut down, crashed HBO's website.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
After the show. And today there's an internet movement calling for mass cancellations of HBO subscriptions.
Give me a break.
Many people paid for HBO just for The Sopranos.
Go to hell, you losers.
Yeah, really.
Jesus Christ, you don't deserve to have TVs.
There's also talk the ending we didn't get might become available on the upcoming DVD, or that the final episode was just the prologue for a Sopranos movie.
I think that's the more likely scenario.
I think you lied earlier in today's show.
When?
You said that if someone were to buy you the 6-season box set, you would re-gift it?
Yes.
But I do believe you are a completist. You have the first 5 seasons.
I do.
And you would keep the 6th. Challenge you on that.
If they advertised it with a different ending, I don't think you could keep away either.
It's not a complete set if you don't have the 6th season.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was. And it's like, when we were talking about box sets that you never watch, I would like seeing all 6 boxes lined up real neat on my video camera.
Sure do look pretty.
Am I ever going to say, I gotta get out the disc? Where's the one where AJ started going to see the psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not complete without it.
And you're a hoarder too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'll buy it.
Yeah. You're more of a hoarder than he is.
I already have them all the whole season in my TiVo.
Okay, good for you. I'm glad.
But right. I'll buy it too. I'm a victim.
Okay.
Why they victimize me like that?
All right.
And I patronize
them. Okay. Victimize. Right. Yeah. Dictimize you. What are you thinking about, Matt?
I am. You seen him today? Looks good.
Did you have any of the green bottles last night?
Every night?
Every night. He drinks every night.
No more than 6.
He's had you've had a couple of those like off air today too, when you're just talking to us and you'll do kind of the
when you're perfect as often as I, it really does glare, doesn't it?
You usually are perfect, Rob.
In every way. Just like Mary Poppins.
That is Buzz buzzing in right now. He would like some more time.
Buzz. Well, whether you liked it or hated it, that final episode, a lot of people are talking about it today, so that may be a mission accomplished.
Oh, that's great.
Your hamburger is trying
to... Buzz?
Yes.
A lot of people talked about 9/11, too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Both statements are true.
That's a hell of a point.
Well played.
Your hamburger is trying to kill you. A meat packer in Southern California has expanded its recall of ground beef that may be contaminated with potentially deadly E. coli bacteria.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
14 people in 6 western states have gotten sick, and United Food Groups recalled well over 5.5 million pounds of ground beef. But they're still concerned that some of it is still in people's freezers, especially if you bought it between April 6th and April 20th in Arizona, California, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Washington State, Wyoming, or Colorado.
I didn't, so I'm okay.
And on Friday, Tyson Fresh Meats recalled over 40,000 pounds of ground beef that had been shipped to Walmart stores in 12 states, including Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Colorado, Kentucky, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, Texas, and New Mexico.
Wait, are you trying to do a tongue twister today?
Pretty much the whole country.
I'm going to call all my meat.
Mike Tyson chicken.
Mike Tyson beef and chicken. I don't want to go back to jail if I sell bad meat to people, you know.
What happened in jail?
It's just, things you see, these guys' genitals and guys' rectum.
Roller coaster, say what? It's that time of year again. Time for the...
Kids love the roller coasters.
They do.
This one is bad.
And it's time for the roller coaster get stuck terrifying people story.
Pixie.
People who got on the ride because they wanted to be terrified. Saturday night, a dozen people hung upside down like bats 150 feet in the air.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I like bats.
150 feet in the air for a half an hour and had to be rescued by a fire department ladder truck.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
That had nothing to do with it.
He was a little boy on that ride, Mike.
Only one of them went to the hospital for a sore neck and a throbbing headache. The rest were okay, pending notification from their lawyers.
Now, I heard about this, Buzz, but I heard that they were getting everybody down on the ground,
right,
and the one person like saw the attention and cameras and people around and went, oh, my neck. My neck really hurts. It was like one of those obvious deals.
Really?
That's what I heard.
And then once you speak up, you have to follow through and ride in the ambulance to the hospital.
Go for it.
It happened on the X Coaster at the Magic Springs and Crystal Falls Amusement Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The power company's not sure what caused the blackout. Quoting a spokesman, the cause could be as simple as an animal on the lines.
There he is.
Well, President Bush has gotten a hero's welcome in Albania.
Duh.
Yeah, you know what? That's like...
he found a country. That's what that's like. He found a country.
Is that... Hold on, give me a second, Buzz.
Sure.
I'm having a brain fart.
It's like Kazakhstan.
When I heard that over the weekend,
right?
Is that the country that they make up to have a war with in Wag the Dog?
I believe it is, yes.
Might be.
Because they pick a country that is so unknown.
Obscure,
and
remote,
so tiny,
right,
that no one knows anything about it. And that's why... Hey, Alanis Morissette, I found that ironic that in the movie about the president manipulating things to go his way,
right,
we start a fake war with this country that now, as it turns out, is the only country in the world that will give George Bush a standing ovation.
Yeah, and he's very popular, and they were treating him like a god over there.
Here's why. Albanians are pleased with Bush's tough talk with the Russians about independence for Kosovo. Albania's prime minister said Bush was the, quote, greatest and most distinguished guest we've ever had in all times.
How about that?
The Albanian government's put Bush's picture on postage stamps. It helped that Mr. Bush told the Albanians what they wanted to hear and that he's the first U.S. president to ever visit that country.
TCBQ.
How you doing? This is Albania. I want to send this one out to Matt, who's got a mouth full of man. Albania show. This is your game from Matt the Pole.
Albania. Oh, that's better than Al-Qaeda.
Now, of course, things didn't go quite so well for the president at the Vatican, where he called the Pope sir instead of your holiness, greeted the pontiff with, howdy, sir, greeted the pontiff with, how you doing?
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
God.
And crossed his legs Texas style during his meeting with Pope Benedict the 16th.
Do you think he believes in God, Buzz?
I do.
Have you changed your controversial position yet?
Actually, no.
Still holding the atheist flag up?
You know, I'm not convinced I'm right any more than I'm convinced anybody else is, but no, I believe what I believe.
Well, then on this Monday of a brand new week, we'll ask you, Buzz.
Yes?
As we look for guidance from your moral compass. Do you believe in God?
Today?
No.
We'll check back next week.
It won't change.
Maybe it will.
Onlookers were heard gasping.
When they heard that, or when they saw the Pope?
When they heard and witnessed what President Bush did in front of the Pope.
I can't believe the mallet head called me sir. And then said, how you doing? Like I'm some common farmhand.
Who are you?
I'm Pope John Ratzenberger. Yes, so you can call me Benedict. Benedict the Third.
How come you don't have one of those Pope-mobiles with a pop-a-top on
it? No, didn't think there was any need for it until Cowboy Joe decided to come by and cross his legs the wrong way. What a hump.
Well, as it turns out, you can buy happiness, and that's our story when we continue.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
And I don't believe in God either. I believe in Simon Cowell.
Good for you.
Well, you're both going to be struck dead. There you go.
Well, here's the thing, Pope. You know I'm kidding.
I know you are, and I voted for Melinda Doolittle.
This is the Don and Mike Show.